This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
The Utah Jazz, they just keep winning. That's what's happening right now with the NBA. We're back on Drive Time Sports. This Monday, we got to recap everything that went down over the weekend in the NBA. In fact, coming up tonight, very interesting game. The Jazz will take on the Philadelphia 76ers. You got two of the best bigs in the game, Joel Embiid, Rudy Gobert going toe-to-toe. Live coverage tonight here at 6:50. Tip-off is scheduled for 7 o'clock. We'll talk about that. The injury scare last night of Anthony Davis, plus the big movement. Andre Drummond may be on his way out of Cleveland. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting earlier today that the team has now made it official that they are looking to move on from him. So we'll talk about all that more right now with Jamison Welsh of BasketballNews.com. Jamison, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always. Definitely appreciate it.
And no question. Always love looking. Always love talking with you, especially if this time of the year when there's a lot going on in the league. And we'll start by talking about the Utah Jazz. After the Lakers were just obliterated by the Denver Nuggets last night, the Jazz have created a game-and-a-half cushion for the best record in the Western Conference. And I was thinking about this last night. I have no doubt in my mind the Jazz are legitimate. But what has worked for this team? And in my mind, as I watch basketball throughout the league, it's just not great. The quality is not great. But when I'm watching the Jazz, I'm seeing crisp ball movement. I'm seeing two-way basketball being played well on defense and on offense. And I understand all the nuances to this year's season. There are teams that are built for June, not necessarily February. I understand that. But the Jazz have embraced the nuances and the difficulties of this league season better than any team right now. And that's obviously the reason why they have the best record in the league.
Yeah, I mean, they also have a tight-knit group. The chemistry's there. They play hard every night. They're pretty deep as a team. So they have a lot of good things going for them. So I'm not going to take anything away from them. They're doing what they're supposed to do. And also, they always have the benefit of playing in a place with high altitude. So when they get that team on a back-to-back or a three-game in 4 nights or a four-game in 6 nights, they get the benefit of really being able to do some things. At the same time, they're playing well. They're shooting the ball really well. They defend very well. You got to give them credit. You know, you can't take anything away from them. They've played. They've done what they're supposed to do, and we got to see it in the playoffs, though. That's the thing. As good as they are in the regular season, there's still teams out there that give them matchup problems. I still think Denver is a very tough matchup for them. Clippers are a tough matchup for them. The Lakers, when fully healthy, are a tough matchup for them. So we'll see what happens. But right now, they're looking really good.
Yeah, and again, I talk about this every week, and I got to continue to go back to it. Rudy Gobert is earning the money that they gave him. That's why tonight's matchup, it's so interesting tonight, seeing Rudy and Joel Embiid go toe-to-toe. There's no doubt that Joel Embiid is a legitimate MVP candidate the way he has played so far this year. Obviously, Philadelphia looks a little bit different. They got some different leadership now with Doc Rivers at the helm and 18-19 going up against the Jazz. This is a marquee matchup tonight, to say the least.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you got two of the best bigs in the game. Joel Embiid is, probably, second in the MVP race right now. Some people would have him first. Either way you have it, I understand. But no, they're in a really good team. Utah's a really good team. It's very rare that we get to see these kind of matchups. I'm curious to see how Utah plays with a team that can defend on their level. Because a lot of these teams Utah's been playing against, they aren't really a good defensive team. But Utah can really defend, Philly can really defend as well. You can make an argument that Ben Simmons is the defensive player of the year, what his versatility is when he does for that team. So we'll be interested to see that. That's a really good game. That's a really good game. I wish it was on like a prime time game instead of a Monday at a normal time. But it is what it is. Should be a good matchup.
And it's not even on NBA TV, which is unfortunate. I like what you just said about a team that can play a high level of defense because, again, my big worry about this Jazz team moving forward, and look, I think it is fully acceptable to have a worry about any team in the league right now. We'll talk about another team of the Western Conference and some worrisome moments in just a moment. But when you're looking at the Utah Jazz, the problem with this team in the postseason has always been being able to score the basketball. Now, when you look at what they've done over the last 20 games, look, they have played NBA-caliber talent. I get it. But, to your point, they're playing a different beast defensively. I think tonight's a telling game.
Yeah, it's definitely a telling game. It's definitely. I mean, I don't get really up for regular season matchups because they are what they are. But sometimes it can be a benchmark or a measuring stick. So that, to me, is always big. But I don't really get so involved because it's just a regular season game. The playoffs are so much different because you can plan. You have days off between games, et cetera, et cetera. Regular season games, you might just have a regular handful of hours to prepare and go for there. So I'm just curious to see what happens. But anyway, I'm just here for a good matchup. That's all we really hope for at this point.
Again, Jameson Welsh, our guest right now at BasketballNews.com, as we talk about some of the storylines in the NBA. And Jameson, as I mentioned, it's okay to have some sort of doubt with every team. I still believe the Los Angeles Lakers possess the best roster in the NBA, although last night it was a scary moment. Anthony Davis, who has been dealing with the Achilles soreness, left the game in the second quarter against the Denver Nuggets after bumping legs with the Joker. And at this point in time, it seems like everything's going to be okay. The MRI shows no rupture, no tear in the Achilles, but it is a strain. Still, it is something to worry about with the Lakers because you've been on the same page as me all year long. When you look at this Laker team, barring a major injury, best roster in the league, if Anthony Davis or LeBron James was to go down, well, that opens up the door for a team like Utah or the Clippers to not only come out of the West, but win the whole thing.
They can definitely win the whole thing. However, they got to be healthy. That being said, you got to rest Anthony Davis because they've come out the gates 21-7. So they have room to rest guys and get guys healthy. They don't need the number one seed. There's not a big home court advantage. There's no fans in the crowd like that. So it's not like you need to get the best record overall because you're going to have home court throughout. It really doesn't matter, to be honest with you. It's more about seeding. So getting the best record in the West or the top two or three records, it doesn't really matter per se. And they have some leeway. So if they got to play without Anthony Davis for a few weeks, then so be it, because you want him to be healthy for the months that count. Him getting right and him being able to play well when it counts is all that matters. He's proven in the limited playoffs that he's played in, he takes the game to another level. You got to have him healthy for that. So that's the key thing. The rest of the Lakers are a pretty deep team. They may have to go out and get another big, but for right now they're a pretty deep team. They can mask some of the loss of Anthony Davis. Not all, because you can never place him. But they can mask it for a little bit. Look for Kyle Kuzma to play more minutes. Look for Morris to play more minutes. But they're in a pretty good spot right now.
Yeah, and last night we saw Kyle Kuzma start the second half after Anthony Davis went down against the Nuggets. It's a stretch four spot, and you and I were talking off the air. The Lakers are very good when they play small ball to begin with, because there's this idea that small ball, you're talking about guys that are 6'5" and under. That's not the case with this Laker team. Undersized in Montrezl Harrell, undersized in Kyle Kuzma for the 4 and the 5, but you have LeBron, who size-wise, look, this guy can guard any position 1 through 5, and so the Lakers are a little bit different when you talk about small ball.
Very, very different. With that being said, it's a situation to where, they have a lot of guys between like 6'7" and 6'9" that they can play. You know, Harrell is a guy you can play a lot of minutes. Don't necessarily start him. You can play him a lot of minutes. They have some things that they can do. With that being said, it would not surprise me to see them. It would not surprise me to see them make a move for another big, whether it's signing a free agent or making a small trade. Or waiting for a buyout. Nothing would surprise me at this point in time.
Yeah, and the buyout market, I think, is going to be big, especially with the uncertainty surrounding the next couple of seasons when we're talking about cap space. Speaking of which, we have to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are now in talks to move Andre Drummond. This is something that's been brewing for a little while. I'm actually surprised that this is the first official statement that we've heard or first official report that we've heard that the Cavaliers are looking to move on from him. If there isn't a trade, he's going to be bought out. And again, that's what I circle back around to the buyout market. However, there is a report saying that the Toronto Raptors are in trade talks. They would be interested in adding Andre Drummond. You're not so sure that he gets bought out. You actually like Andre Drummond to be traded.
Yeah, I can see him getting moved because there's teams with, expiring contracts they can offer. There's teams with, trade exemptions. I mean, for instance, the Toronto wants to. I mean, Kyle Lowry put his house on the market a couple weeks ago in Toronto. So that's that. Also, you have Boston with a big trade exception. So there's two options right there. Both those teams need a big guy. So just saying, never throw out, never throw out the possibility of a guy like that. I think Drummond is too good to get bought out. Even though he has issues, he still has value. His contract is the reason why we're here, not necessarily his play on the court. It's his contract. And once the Cavs got Jared Allen, he's the future. They're about to pay him big money. So when you get a guy like that, you got to play him. So that's kind of where we are with this.
It'll be interesting to see what happens here, Jameson, as far as any other trade movement, especially on the big market, especially with just looking at some of the injuries that have occurred, especially with Anthony Davis now. Who else do you expect to be in that conversation within the next 2 weeks?
A great question. Kyle Lowry will be a guy that I can see on the move. I mean, Toronto hasn't had the best season thus far. You know, they are a situation where, you know, it's kind of been rough. It's kind of been rough. It's one of those things where the season hasn't been as they thought it would be. They also have some situations to where, you know, they lost a lot of close games, and they have they're in a weird spot as a team. So if they can, you know, shed some salary while getting some additional assets, I can see Kyle Lowry being on the move. You mentioned Drummond. Honestly, this is going to sound kind of crazy, but don't be surprised if Bradley Beal gets moved. And the reason why I say that is we know he's very loyal. We know he wants to be there. But at the same time, the Wizards aren't going anywhere. Next year is his walk year. Do the Wizards risk losing him for nothing when they can trade him for a lot now? That's my biggest thing, because everyone talks a good talk, but we all have to look at the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation is he can literally walk at any time. And I would be very careful if I'm Washington, because all that loyalty stuff sounds good until you actually, you know, face with a decision and the guy walks and you get nothing back. And that's a franchise. They lose Bradley Beal. They need something back. They can't afford for him to walk and get nothing.
Agreed. What about Lonzo Ball? I think that this is a name that we're going to see pick up a little bit more steam over the next couple of weeks. In fact, there was a report that the Chicago Bulls would be interested in acquiring Ball. I think this is a name that, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets traded.
Wouldn't be surprised, but he's actually playing better, and he has a pretty good rapport with Zion. So I don't know if you move him. I can see Bledsoe getting moved. Lonzo's still a guy that, For a lot of teams, he could still, you know, be productive. There's still a higher ceiling for him. With that being said, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. He's a guy I can see on the move, but at the same time, you know, his rapport with Zion is so good, and he compliments Zion very well. Now, there's still some levels to his game that he has yet to unlock, but as of right now, I can thank for this season, but I don't think he's part of their long-term plans, though.
No, and we have to remember, he's only 23 years old. It's kind of bizarre, right? He's been in the league now, four seasons. He's only 23 years old. I agree with you. I don't think we've seen this kid's ceiling yet.
We haven't, but we may never. And part of that is because of the injuries he's had.
Yep.
But that's because of the situation. So we'll definitely see what goes on. But honestly speaking, I'll be very curious to see what takes place going forward, because I don't really like the fit there. It's not great. They don't have enough shooting, and you know, for that to work, you got to have shooting. But J.J. Redick's probably another guy that's on the move as well.
Jameson Welsh, you get a basketballnews.com. Jameson, always a pleasure to get you on the show. Of course, you got to let the listeners know where they can find more of your work and the excellent podcast you do with James Posey at basketballnews.com.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me as always. And yes, basketballnews.com. We have a podcast, articles, all that good stuff. I'm on ESPN 1100 in Vegas. ESPN, I want to say it's 1480 in Nebraska, and of course your show every week, so I definitely appreciate all y'all for having me on and talking hoops.
Yeah, love it every week. Jameson, have a great week, travel safe, and we'll catch you back next week.
Not a problem, thanks for having me.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.